Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today. In this edition of A&M Conversation With, Steve Goldstein, a senior advisor at A&M and author of Why Are There Snowblowers in Miami?, sits down with Managing Director Radish Dubal in our Private Equity Services Group in an ongoing series to discuss his five principles of engagement. Today, they will be talking about hot buttons, focusing on 2 to 3 pertinent metrics in any situation to improve performance.
Hi, Radish. Thanks for joining us for this podcast.
My pleasure.
Great. So today's topic is really about focus, which we call hot buttons. And let's start in with a few questions. My first question for you is, based on your experience, do you think that companies actually know their key metrics, or do they allow other data to cloud their vision and sort of present so much information that they don't see the forest for the trees?
That's a great question, Stephen. I see this all the time in nearly every client that we spend our time with. And it is the latter. The latter by means of just too much information for them to make heads or tails, from what's valuable to what's really, for lack of a better term, noise. One good example I can provide is we recently spent some time with a global automotive OEM supplier. They have operations across the world, and we met with their management team, and their challenge was they felt like their operating performance, their operating EBITDA margin, was just low. And it was low relative to their competitive set, but they didn't know why. And they'd scrubbed all kinds of information, from operational information to back office information to their sales and kind of go-to-market stuff. And they just had this voluminous set of information, but they couldn't really get to the heart of what their core issues were. We spent time with them and, you know, did a review of their full infrastructure. And what we learned was there was a few really key elements of their business that had they had better control of, they could have very clearly seen line of sight to improving their performance and their EBITDA. Those specifically were around the way they spent their procurement dollars, both direct and indirect. What we learned, it was completely decentralized. There was many, many touch points within their supply base that were uncontrolled, unprocessed, unmanaged. And because of that lack of visibility, they didn't even know what they spent, on who they spent it with, or what price they were paying for different types of materials and specs. So that was one key component. That was roughly 65% of their cost of goods sold. So if you think about the magnitude of that lack of control, that's pretty significant. So that was one. Number two.
So let me stop you there. So when you, without getting too ahead of the story, when you figured this out and informed them of your findings, what was their reaction?
Their reaction was a combination of surprise that it was so ill-managed, but simultaneously a sense of relief that, wow, there's a pulse on this that they could do something about.
Did they have any sort of reflection of how it came to get to the place it was at, where it sounds like it was so out of control, and yet you and your team identified this, it sounds like, fairly quickly?
Yeah, you know, their sense of why it got to this point was really a little bit of consistent with their corporate culture. And their corporate culture, you know, candidly was a little bit dysfunctional and toxic. It was one of these classic cases of a business that had grown in various geographies, the course of their history, and everyone developed their own, let's call it, fiefdom, their own little empire within their region, within their geography. And that sense of, let's call it, entitled ownership of their region did not lend itself to really a corporate harmonization, which is why, you know, there was this ongoing just we're going to do it our way and really don't care how, you know, the other regions, the other geographies, the other parts of the business really look at this set of cost base.
And is it, would it be fair to say that the information stayed within the business and was not, you know, across the board visibility that everybody could see the full impact of the supply chain?
Absolutely right, Steve. You hit it right on the head. It was extremely fragmented and very localized. So, for example, you would have a set of products being purchased by a global, from a global provider across multiple offices within their geographies. So they had 23 locations, and we learned that for a given supplier, they were purchasing the same exact product, the same SKU, same part number, at 10 different locations, at 10 different prices, at 10 different volumes. And what we learned from that was, number one, there was clearly, to your point earlier, you know, this sense of everyone's doing their own thing. But more importantly, they never leveraged that scale, the global scale of the business, not only to that existing supplier, but any others that would be competitors to that supplier to get really any pricing arbitrage.
Right. So, you know, what's interesting about this story, and it relates to another one of the five principles called transparency, which is sharing information across an organization as opposed to, you know, being stingy about the information and keeping it in the silos. I guess what I'm taking away from this story is that this procurement project, for want of a better term, really also probably has some issue with the way the companies actually run organizationally. And it may be that identifying this hot button, tell me if I'm right or wrong here, but that identifying these issues as it relates to procurement might have also led to changes in both the leadership team and the leadership structure, because that was probably an enabler of this problem that showed up in procurement.
Absolutely. And it was this theme, Steve, was pervasive across the business. But you're absolutely right. The resultant improvement that was made was, one, centralization of the structure and controls, new leadership that had specific targets that could be measured with the data that you were talking about at the onset of this discussion, with specific transparency that was enterprise-wide. So that way you've got, you know, a single source of information that's consolidated, you've got a single leadership team that's responsible, and you've got known and measurable targets that can be now actioned. So the result was those really three key pillars.
Right. So, you know, when you left the company, when the project concluded, did you leave them with the right tools that they could administer the recommendations you made on a sustainable basis so that they did not regress back to their old ways?
You know, that's absolutely, you know, spot on. I mean, it has to be sustainable, whatever these improvements are. And what we ended up doing was aggregating within their systems not only a specific set of data and infrastructure improvements, but also added these key specific not only targets but transparency metrics for this area into their monthly, quarterly, and annual reporting. And so that way, everyone had line of sight to the source of information, where was it coming from, the quality of that information, and then how to then action against that information through reporting and measurement, such that it would be, Steve, sustainable in the future. And it's been roughly 18 months since we were there, and we just spent some time with them. We did a little catch-up about a month ago, and everything that we discussed with them and installed during the time there is still in place, and they're actually improving on where we were from when we helped them the first time around. So it has been sustainable, and I think, you know, that's a great example of, you know, multiple, let's call it factors that go into business performance.
Right. Well, listen, that was a great story, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And thank you very much for being with me on this podcast, Rich. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Really appreciate it.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.